Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is your co-host. Hini Hasib, and we're going to have with us today our brother Mark Shaheen here. And we have been talking over the past week of the influence of the devil. It's called, by a book called Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. And I just want to kind of recap a little bit as we get into our second part here of the tape that we've been kind of studying to just kind of bring you up to date. And Brother Mark, if you have any comments on what we did last week, just let me know. But I'm going to read a few things, notes that I took here on what we have heard so far from the influence that the devil says he do in human life. And I put number one, false ideas that he do. And the devil says he has no physical body because he wanted to clear up some of the false concepts, some of the concepts that people have of him out here. He says he's more like negative energy and he don't need a body to survive in the human being because I took from that that we take him wherever we go. And he says he's no beast, and he claims that he controls 98% of the people. And he controls the negative thoughts in the human being. And he says he occupies the negative space in the human. Then he talked a little bit about the fear that he controls and rules people through the fear. And he began to talk about the six fears. But we'll get into that as we go along. He makes people believe that he can be this all-powerful being here, there, but actually he says he controls nothing. He cannot control the human being. He has no power over the human being, but if he can make us believe that he's got power, then we give it. And he also said that the idea of him being able to punish people after their death is a myth, that he cannot punish anyone, but he do emphasize that he try to put that into their thought pattern. And he said he do have men in the society that he consider his enemy. And the men he consider his enemy, and when I say men, we're talking about the human being. The human that he consider his enemy is a person who thinks, and that's the key to it, a person who thinks, he said he cannot control, he cannot rule over because he's a thinker. So he goes after the non-thinker. And he says he tried to influence us through the poverty, ill health, poor finances. And I kind of review these things because we want to continue this to show how this devil may be working and see how he's working in society, but how he could be working into all of us. Brother Mark, do you have anything on last week that you want to make mention of? As-salamu alaykum, Brother Mark.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. First, I want to say Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to God. First and foremost, I want to say as-salamu alaykum to you, Brother Henry Hasib, and to the very radio listen audience, AM 360 radio. This is an outstanding publication, and I think you did a very good job of overview in terms of what already has been disseminated from this outstanding book, Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. I think that those things that you said can't be really underscored in terms of the nature of the devil, that we call the devil, that he describes himself as negative energy, that he doesn't have a body, and that his favorite abode, meaning his favorite place where he likes to live and to be able to control the thinking and also, obviously, the behavior of human beings is in the mind. Mm-hmm. And the inability or the laziness of the individual to freely think for themselves. And, you know, Brother Henry, I think we have to say this, you know, as we relate it to al-Islam, that Almighty God, Allah, has given all human beings the NBA, the natural-born ability to have the freedom to freely think. This is one of the things that separates us from the rest of creation. You know, when you think about the rest of creation, mm-hmm. and particularly the animal world that's animated, and of course we know the celestial bodies that have been created and all of that, they only just obey God's will. They don't have a mind, so to speak. But animals do have a brain, but they don't have a brain to the degree of the human being, nor do they have the capacity to think rationally and logically. So, you know, Napoleon Hill gives a very vivid description, not only not thinking, but also how you think is contingent on how much space that he can occupy in your mind. So we also said last week, this is why you get that saying, that idle mind is the devil's workshop. So this becomes a confirmation that if, in fact, that you do have an idle mind, you know, then you're very vulnerable, very gullible for Shaitan to be able to influence you. And, you know, I want to just go to the Quran here, whereas it's in Surah 94 of the Quran. It's the same, it's a short surah, but where we say, in the Maya Othra Yuthra, and this is repeated twice in Surah 94, that surely with the difficulty comes the relief. And right after that, the next verse actually says, so when you complete one task, immediately begin another. And then it ends with the ayah, and give your full attention to Allah. Now, that's very important, because Allah is giving us an instructing sign that never allow yourself to be idle. Continue to work. Continue. Don't stop working. Don't stop thinking. Because when you do, now you become vulnerable, very gullible for the influence of the devil. And then Allah says, and give your full attention to him. Now, this is very important, that we should give our full attention to Allah, to Allah's word, will, and way for us in our life, because when we become unconscious of doing that, this makes us very, very vulnerable and very gullible for the influence of the devil. The devil is always looking for an opening when you're unconscious. And we look at the story of Adam when he actually became unconscious of what God's word was, and this is how he was influenced, you understand, to disobey. So we have to look at scripture, you know, as the foundation for our thinking and our disposition, which also is going to affect our behavior, you know. And I think one other thing that he actually said, we began last week, didn't finish it up, the handiwork. It was mentioned last week, the handiwork, those two things in terms of how he's able to influence and impact even young people in terms of smoking and also drinking alcohol, because he cited that how that prevents or stymies the human being from actually thinking. And as you already said, we're going to pursue the number one thing that he uses, you understand, to get control of the mind and the human being is fear. And we gave the acronym that most people have heard before, false evidence appearing real. And one of the things Napoleon Hill said last week that was in there, you know, not only fear of those things that's real, but he operates with fear of those things that's not real. And this is how he's able to maintain the control of people false evidence appearing real. So, like you said, false ideas, false concepts, but it's false evidence appear real. And if it's false evidence and appear real in a person's life, that becomes the perception that they actually have, and then this stymies the thinking process, and Shaitan or the devil has his way with you when you actually are operating on false evidence and false concepts, not the truth. And so that's why we can see that the truth will set us free. I'll stop there, but this is, as you said, this is a lot to really ingest and to digest as we follow along in this conversation Napoleon, that he actually had with the devil. And we should also note that it should become evident to us that Napoleon Hill had a Quran, read the Quran, because the information we got thus far is in accordance with that, with the exception that in terms of claiming to be, in terms of creation, one half of creation representing the negative side. We know that Allah is the creator of all things and everything, and Shaitan or the devil is not the creator of anything but himself.
You're right.
But himself. I'll stop there.
Let's go ahead. We're gonna get started, and I'll say again, if you got your pencil and paper out, because there'd be some good notes to go back and reflect on. And again, I ask the audience there that, hey, with subjects like this, we need to invite others to it there so they can get this valuable information, because we know we have someone and we can relate, as you said, Mark, to the Quran in there. But let's get into the tape. We're going to be starting on take two, about five part, track five here. Okay.
Liquor and cigarettes. I can understand how liquor might destroy the power of independent thought, but do not see what cigarettes have to do with helping your cause. You may not know it, but cigarettes break down the power of resistance. They destroy the power of endurance. They destroy the ability to concentrate. They deaden and undermine the imaginative.
We're not hearing anything, Brother Henry.
Can you hear it now?
Yes. If you turn the volume up a little bit. Thank you.
Okay.
Invites a flock of its relatives to move in and take possession of the mind. The cigarette habit not only lowers the power of resistance and discourages persistence, but it invites looseness in other human relationships. I never thought that cigarettes were a tool of destruction, Your Majesty, but your explanation throws a different light on the subject. How many converts do they have? I am proud of my record. Millions are now victims, and the number is increasing daily. Soon I shall have most of the world indulging in the habit. In thousands of families, I now have followers of the habit, including every member of the family. Very young boys and girls are beginning to take on the habit. They are learning how to smoke by observing their parents and older brothers and sisters. Which do you consider to be your greater tool for gaining control of human minds? Cigarettes or liquor? Without hesitation, I would say cigarettes. Once I get a young person to join my habit, I have no trouble in inducing that person to take on the habit.
If you can turn the volume up just a little bit more, Brother Henry.
I've got it at its neck. Let me see if I can readjust it.
Remember, this was written in 1938, long before the addiction to tobacco was discovered. Here and elsewhere, Napoleon Hill is far ahead of his time in some of his medical and sociological opinions.
Your Majesty, when I began this interview, I had you all wrong. I thought you were a fraud and a fake, but I see now that you are quite real and very powerful. Your apology is accepted. But you did not bother. Millions of people have questioned my power, and I got most of them in the game to take the I asked myself in the face again. I did not tell him, here and now, that you are the damnedest fiend ever to be turned loose on innocent people. I always had a wrong conception. I thought you were kind to let people alone while they were living, that you merely tortured their souls after death. Now I learn from your own brazen confession that you destroyed their right to freedom of thought and caused them to go through a living hell on earth. What do you have to say to that? I got what I want by exercising self-control. It is not so good for my own business, but I suggest you emulate me instead of criticizing me. You call yourself a thinker, and why? Otherwise, you would never have forced this interview upon me. But you will never sort of think of the friends unless you gain and exercise greater control over your own emotion. But let us get away from personality. I came here to learn more about you, not to discuss myself. Please go ahead and tell me of the many tricks you have devised for gaining control of human minds. But what is your most powerful one just now? That is a difficult question to answer. I have so many devices for entering the minds and controlling them that it is difficult to say which are the most powerful. Right at the moment, I am trying to bring about another world. My friends here in Washington are helping to involve America in the world. If I can start the world to kill it on a wholesale basis, I shall be able to put into operation my favorite device of mind control. It is what you call mass. I used this device to bring about the other world war in 1914. I used it to bring about the economic depression in 1929. And if my opposition had not done the cross, I would now be in possession of every man, woman, and child in the world. You can see for yourself how near I am to world domination. The thing I have been struggling to attain for thousands.
Here, the devil claims to be working with both sides to instigate war, based on his sowing the seeds of fear throughout the world. This is the essence of what has come to be known in our time as terrorism, and the response to it. Through Hill's work, the devil takes credit for not only both world wars, but also the Great Depression. It is easy to add the current economic collapse to his work's credit. Both war and economic collapse breed fear in people's minds, and are certainly the work of the devil.
Yes, I see your point. George, you are a very ingenious manipulator of the minds of people. It's your devilish business carried on only through people of high position and great influence? Oh, no. I use the minds of people in all walks of life. As a matter of fact, I prefer a type of person who makes no pretense of thinking. I can manipulate that sort of person without difficulty. I cannot control 98% of the people of the world if all people were skilled at thinking for themselves. I am interested in the welfare of those people whom you claim to control. Therefore, I wish you to tell me all of the tricks by which you enter and control their minds. I want a complete confession from you. So begin with your cleverest trick. Since suicide while focusing on me, I am helpless. So settle down and I will place in your hands the weapon by which millions of your fellow earthbound will defend themselves against me.
You might want to stop it there.
Mr. Earthbound has the power to force the devil to answer.
Okay, yeah, you're right, Marcus. It's so much in there, and you almost need to take it sentence by sentence. But in the light of time, we try to get about 10 minutes or so in there. But it is it's a lot in there, especially for the thinking person. And we got to think.
Yeah, it want to, and maybe we'll try to get it a little bit clearer after, you know, we get a break. But this is what I really want to emphasize, because just as one of the last comments in terms of we made in terms of the handiwork, which is, you know, cigarettes, tobacco, and also alcohol. You see, now you have to remember that this is 1938. And one of the things that he said for controlling young people was to introduce them to tobacco and smoking. And one of the things that he said in regards to that, what had been discovered in the research, that it breaks down your resistance, meaning that it limits your willpower. This is another thing that we have to relate back to Allah in terms of how he created the human being. He created us with a will. The more we're able to exercise our will and to have discipline with our will, we're just coming away from the blessed month of Ramadan. And you have to exercise discipline. And we do know that there are actually some Muslims that actually smoke, not the ones that's in association with Imam W.D. Muhammad. But the willpower, he says that the cigarette smoking is one of his tools for breaking down the resistance of the human being and limiting their willpower, which meaning that they don't have the discipline, it makes them more vulnerable, or it makes them easy prey, let's say, for the devil to actually influence or impact. Now, you never would think that, but the fact of the matter is those persons that subject themselves to smoking, and even while they now more and more research has been done, is on the pack for cigarettes today. The Surgeon General, mm-hmm. as the FDA have instructed them, tells you that it has been determined that tobacco products do cause cancer. But guess what? The resistance, the willpower is so weak that they can't mm-hmm. even stop smoking, even though they know it's detrimental. But it also has a psychological and an emotional effect. This is what Napoleon Hill is actually saying. And I think another thing in this summation that I'm giving, what we just heard, is that the devil takes credit for World War I, 1914, and then the beginning of the Depression here in this country that began in 1929, and also, you know, in terms of all wars. And he is describing this as massive fear, where as the facilitator said, that we term that as terror today, tyranny today, terrorizing in terms of massive fear. This is why the devil can and has from the beginning boasts, you understand, he actually, with the Napoleon Hill said, you will have to address me as your majesty. And then the question was asked to him, why? Because he said, I control 98% of the people. So you meaning that out of every 100 people, he has an influence in 98% of the people, and he doesn't discriminate, because as you just heard, you understand, he goes after children, young people, you know, that's trying to come into maturation in all with this. And he was asked the question, which of those two things that you think that has the most impact, that he uses, cigarette or alcohol? And with no hesitation, mm-hmm. reservation, he says cigarettes. That's kind of mm-hmm. really alarming if you think about it.
I'll stop there. It really is. Mark, and just before we go to our caller, we're gonna take a PSA here. But the whole thing with the tobacco, and you're right, there's a lot of Muslims, and I try to work with the ones that I come in contact with to let them know. A few I've been successful with, but some have gotten on, and like you say, that resistance becomes mm-hmm. so low that the next time I see them, they're back on again. And they give me all these excuses mm-hmm. as to why they're there. And they usually put it on problems, you know, there. But I say, no, it's the devil. It's the devil's influence, and that's what you got to realize, that as long as that, because I figure that would be probably the strongest thing in their life to help them get off, to let them know that this is a tool of the devil. This is how he likes to control you. But you're right, it's just so much in here. We're going to take a PSA here, then we're going to come right back to our first a caller here and see what you have to say on this important subject. We'll be right back.
Since 1989, Saturna Capital has focused on the importance of sustainable business management.
Originally, Saturna began faith-based investing to meet client needs. They needed a financial product that wouldn't produce interest.
We thought that why can't we have something which is nationwide and people can, you know, pull their money in. And that's where I started exploring the idea of a mutual fund.
A mutual fund, incidentally, is a very Islamic concept. Everybody puts your money in and you share in the results. So that's a very fair, very Islamic way to invest.
Biggest accomplishment I can think of and thankful to God will be that we are helping people to do the right things.
Founded on principles of integrity to clients and a commitment to low fees, over its 30 years of growth, Saturna has broadened its successful approach to faith-based investing to include a focus on sustainable metrics.
We think that the kind of rules of Islamic investing, social responsible investing, are really very close to the same thing.
We view investing as a business partnership. We're seeking to identify companies with whom we can partner, feel good about the way that they manage the business, the way they approach diversity amongst their executive suite and within their board of directors, the way they treat their employees, their communities, the environment.
To set an example, Saturna is eager to showcase how we practice ESG at home, focusing on employee wellness, community engagement, and environmental initiatives.
We translate these things every day from promoting philanthropy within our community and within our organization to establishing groundbreaking products that people have never seen before.
Saturna Capital is dedicated to industry leadership in values-based global investing.
Okay, we're back. We are talking about Outwitting the Devil, a book by Napoleon Hill, and we're going to go to our first caller here at area code 334-419. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, Michael Hamid.
Assalamu alaikum. How you doing, Brother Michael?
Alaikum assalam.
I'm blessed by the best. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, Sunshine State, alhamdulillah. Yeah, I just want to, you know, when I hear Outwitting the Devil, I remember Imam Qasim Ahmed, may Allah forgive him his sins and grant him paradise. He did an extensive focus on that book. Using Quranic framework. More recently, Luke Princess Aziz of Keeping It Real on AM360, he went into the book as well. My interest is that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he identified the fact that the devil was aware that he could not get us in terms of our faith in Allah, but that he would challenge us in smaller matters. And I would just like to say that it may appear to be a small matter, but we have to be careful in terms of our devotional attention. You know, early on in my establishment of Al-Islam in my life, I came to know, or I was taught that, you know, you can tell a person's faith by the life energy, where they give their life energy. And so devotional attention is something that the Nation of Islam had an issue with. You know, when Imam Muhammad came in as the leader, he said, we give too much attention to the devil. You know, we need to give more attention to Allah. And so in that framework, in that context, when we go to where we see the birth of the devil in the Quran, and the Quran represents for us the most excellent language environment and the most excellent educational environment in terms of the way Allah approaches ideas. And when he tells us about the devil, he tells us that the devil started as a jinn, and that jinn was in the leadership of the angels. He had responsibility over those entities that didn't have in them the ability to disobey God. As that journey went forward, Iblis, the leader of the angels, learned that he wasn't an angel. He was leading them, but he wasn't an angel. He had been given the power of free will, having a limited free will and an ability to disagree, which is what got him in trouble and led him to become the Satan, the devil, you know, the enemy of the human being. And I'll just stop there.
Brother Michael, thank you so much for that, because I think that's so very, very important. And, you know, to your point, that there are some Muslims that have the misconception and misperception that Allah created the devil. You know, as you so eloquently articulated, he created the jinn and the ant. And so in 18, for Quranic reference, you can go to Surah 18, Ayat 50, where Allah tells you unequivocally that Iblis was a jinn. And then you can go to Surah 51, 56 of the Quran, what the Brother Michael is saying for a devotional worship for the human being, but also for the jinn. Also for the jinn, you'll find that in Surah 51, 56. And this becomes the purpose. And Allah only outlines that for two creations, the jinn and the human being. The jinn and the human being. And the commonality that they both have is that they both have free will. They both have free will. So I just want to just say that for the Quranic reference of those that want to go and read it for themselves. And then this identifies the purpose for these two. They have been given free will. The rest of creation doesn't have free will. It's just in compliance with God's will. It's completely obedient to God's will. And it actually expresses God's will. And this is what is supposed to be for these other two creations. They are to become in compliance with God's will and express what God's will is. And so Brother Mike is correct, because Iblis, once uncovered and discovered, he was not an angel, but was trained in as an angel. But when it was something was ordered and given to him, he disagreed. He devolved. Not evolved, he devolved, and thus became what we call Shaitan, the Satan, or the devil, in terms of trying to prove a point. And that point being that the station that was given to this human creation, that he's unworthy of it. And I'll stop there. Thank you so much, Brother Michael. You're right on point.
Okay, and I'd just like to add to that, you know, that we, because the devil say he like people to think that he don't exist, and then where he exists, how, in the introduction, you know, that's what he was saying. People see him as, even today, as with horns. You know, we see sometime in the form of a man, but a man that's crazy looking with horns on his head and stuff like this, that these no beasts, to take us really away from what the devil really is.
And he be influencing us, and that's what we do in this program, because the influence of the devil is affecting, as we were saying earlier, even Muslims, that we see that smoking that has no resistance have gotten on that kick of smoking because of their being lured by this devil, as he say he did, and we know there's nothing that Allah has prescribed for us. But you got good people, and when you get outside of the Islamic family, then look like, every day, just go to any store, and you will see them come out with packs and cartons of cigarettes every day. So then we have to listen and see, is it something to what this devil is saying? Is this how he's influencing us? And know how he's influencing us, because we know he's going to deceive us even in that. I've heard some deceptive things already that he said when he want, as you said, Mark, when he want us to believe that he control half of the creation, and we know, based on the Quran, he has no power. But he's that little a falsehood in there that if he can get us to believe that he's one half, the negative half, then he got some type of power. He has no power. We know that. But we got to see his influence, because Allah did allow him to have influence, and that's what we are beginning to see.
Yeah,
so,
and you know, one last before you go back there, you know, Imam Muhammad said that you have to, fight, and this is a Quranic base, you know, fight or defeat the schemes, defeat the schemes of the shaitan, of the devil, okay? So when he says that, then it's important for you to know and be able to identify the schemes of the shaitan. You know, but Brother Michael is absolutely 100% correct.
Oh, yes.
The focus that we have to have, and we want you to know that it's not that we're putting the focus on shaitan, because just like you said, Brother Henry, Brother Michael said, you know, shaitan only have the ability to really whisper, to whisper. We find that in Surah An-Nas, the last surah of the Quran, and then withdraw. And we also know just recent reading in the Quran that he's going to deny you. And, you know, that saying, I think Flip Wilson came up with years ago, the devil made me do it. Satan is going to say, no, I didn't make you do it. I made a promise to you. But also Allah made a promise to you. So he's going to deny you in the very end in that regard. So it actually is that we have to be responsible for our own soul. Soul is trying, has a destiny to get to, and it's going to be contingent upon these two freedoms. Freedom, the freedom to think that Allah has given to the human being, and the free will to choose. We can just simply, it's a lot more to that, but if we look at the freedom to think, and the free will, the freedom to make choices in our life, you know, and give our devotional worship. That's the language of Imam Muhammad that Brother Michael was using, the devotional worship. That's in Surah 94. I said it earlier in the prelude where Allah says, and give your full attention. That can be also expressed, and give your free devotional worship in terms of serving God's cause, being a worker for the cause of Allah. And when you do that, now you understand, you reduce the possibility or probability, I should say, in terms of shaitan having any impact, any influence on you. But when you don't do that, now you become very vulnerable and very gullible. So it's very important to know these schemes. This is considered the handiwork. Cigarettes, alcohol, gambling, gambling, alcohol is in the Quran. This is called the handiwork. And Shaitan don't have to worry about you when he can have you subjected to his handiwork. I'll stop there.
Right. Well, you're right that it's so much. And that's what we got to be aware of because, like I said before, that there is a lot of even Muslims and Christians. We've seen our brothers there that they don't see any problem with it. Even the pork. They'll justify eating the pork. They'll justify the gambling. They'll justify the alcohol. They justify the tobacco because the devil has laid a scheme for them to believe that that is all right. And we know that it's not all right because those are the schemes of Satan, and they don't even see it. And we just want to bring that to the light, that here you being influenced, that you think it's all right in Allah's sight, but it's not all right. It's the devil's scheme that's got you doing these things here. So you're right there. Well, let's see if we can get a few more minutes of this before we end this program today. Like I said, so much.
Most clever trick, the one you use to ensnare a great number of people, but you force me to give away this secret. It will mean my loss of millions of people now living, and still greater numbers of millions as yet unborn. I beg of you, permit me to pass this one question unanswered. So His Majesty the Devil fears a mere humble earthbound creature? Is that right? It is not right. But it's true. You have no right to rob me of my most necessary tool of trade. For millions of years, I have dominated earthbound creatures through fear and ignorance. Now you come along and would destroy my use of these weapons by forcing me to tell how I use them. Do you not realize that you will break my grip on every person who heeds this confession you are forcing from me? Have you no mercy? Have you no sense of humor? Have you no sportsmanship? Stop stalling and start confessing. Who are you to ask mercy of one whom you would destroy if you could? Who are you to talk of sportsmanship and a sense of humor? You, who by your own confession have set up a living hell on earth where you punish innocent people through their fears and ignorance. As for minding my own business, that is just what I'm doing when I force you to tell how you control people through their own minds. My business, if it can be called a business, is helping to unlock the doors of the self-made prisons in which men and women are confined because of the fears you have planted in their minds. My greatest weapon over human beings consists of two secret principles by which I gain control of their minds. I will speak first of the principle of habit, through which I silently enter the minds of people. By operating through this principle, I establish, I wish I could avoid using this word, the habit of drifting. When a person begins to drift on any subject, he is headed straight toward the gates of what you earthbound call hell. Describe all the ways in which you induce people to drift. Define the word and tell us exactly what you mean by it. I can best define the word drift by saying that people who think for themselves never drift, while those who do little or no thinking for themselves are drifters.
All right, that's a whole lot in that little minute or two there. And I see we do have a few callers there. We're going to get to you in just a minute, callers. But the devil say his greatest weapon is to cause the human being to drift there. So it's really something. It's a lot. You just have to analyze. And I tell people, Mark, a lot of times when my client comes,
mm-hmm.
I tell them, I know the devil. And they look at me very, very strange. You know the devil? like, how do you know the devil? I said, that's the reason he can't control me, because I know the devil. I said, the reason he's got influence on you, because you don't know the devil. So,
yeah.
You're right.
At least, Brother Henry, let me say this. At least they have a misconception and perception.
Misconception.
The devil. They're looking for the devil in a certain way, but he's not in that way. So this is good, very graphic information. Go ahead, go to your callers.
All right, okay. All right. We got about 9 minutes left in the program, so we're going to go to our brother here. I think it's Brother Muhammad at 914-434. Welcome to the program. Mm-hmm. Is that Brother Muhammad?
Wa alaikum. Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Oh, this is Muhammad Sharif. Yes, sir. Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, wa alaikum assalam. You know, I'm hearing me, ma'am. Mark, look here. I'd like to go. I think of Brother Michael, for he just brought something to our attention. I didn't know about this, that Imam Qasim Ahmed, now, forgive me, sin, got him in paradise, and he did an article, an excellent lecture on with the devil. So I wish we could bring that up, because I would like to see what he said about that. And the brother said, Sister Princess Aziz, keeping it real, so she had did an issue, a subject on I wasn't the devil. I know Imam Muhammad said we put too much emphasis on the devil. He said, ma'am, say, y'all talk about the devil. No place for God. So,
exactly.
Thank you for taking my comments this morning. All right, that's what I'm going to
say. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. And you're absolutely right. The Imam has said that just like Brother Michael, I mean, and the Imam also, you know, in terms of saying where our focus and our devotional worship and service should be in terms of Allah, you know, in that regard. And I think that what we're talking about, the even we just finished the blessed month of Ramadan. And those of you I know here in the city of St. Louis, and I'm quite sure in your respective locales, and especially some of our immigrant Muslim brothers, when it's time to break fast, they go fast. They go fast to get a cigarette. I mean, just think about that. You know, in that regard, more so than just actually breaking the fast with something that's naturally from the creation that is good and healthy and wholesome for us as the Prophet Muhammad. But when we think about this information that we're getting, it is very valuable information. And yes, Imam Qasim Ahmed, he actually did an overview of this book. And he gave ayats in the Quran. In other words, whatever Napoleon Hill was saying, he tracked it with the Quran in that regard. So that, you know, that's very, very important. And I'm convinced. I'm thoroughly convinced. And I talked to Brother Henry about it. And he is also that Napoleon Hill had in his possession a Quran to give it. You have to remember, This publication was kept off the shelves. It was not allowed during the time of Napoleon Hill. I think it was released in 2011, but then the authorship began in 1938. Think about this here, 1938, but they wouldn't release this book because of the contents of it. And as you hearing this author say what he's saying, and it's going to get deeper, and Brother Henry can tell you it's going to get deeper, how the shaitan uses the parents, and also the clergy, and also the teachers and educators. I mean, uses them, you understand, to promote his scheme, his plan. Oh, it's going to get really deep. That's why I'm convinced that he had possession of the Quran. Yes, so Imam Qasim did an outstanding, you know, production on that using the Quran. So this is, you know, this is upcoming. So I'll stop there.
Yes, and we're going to bring in our brother Michael again and see if he got another comment. But, yes, it is going to get a lot deeper. As-salamu
alaykum,
Brother Michael.
Alaykum as-salam. I heard the language of habit and drifting.
Mm-hmm.
And habit is the idea
where you've established something that you don't have to give much thought to. And drifting mm-hmm. is an idea of being unconscious. You know, you're not moving in a conscious direction. You're just allowing influences to move you, you know, like a log in the river or something like that, or a leaf in a little stream or a pond or something. You know, the influences and the energy are moving the thing. The thing is not self-directed. So I just wanted to share those things. And, you know, this is the personification of the devil's arrogance and the devil's, you know, because he wants to direct the human being. You know, God created us to be directed by his guidance. But Shaitan, okay, be Muslims, but let me be your sincere advisor in terms of how to be a Muslim. Let me direct your attention where I think you should be looking. You know, assalamu alaikum. Yeah, Ramadan Mubarak. Yeah, you know. But you're not connecting the month of Shawwal with the word Shawil, which has the same lettering. Shawwal has to do with what we learned in the Nation of Islam, being fast-moving, quick-thinking, right down to the modern time, you know, expeditious, you know. That's how we're supposed to come out of Ramadan, but we're not invited to see that connection, that we're supposed to come out of Ramadan with a certain spirit to engage the world the way Allah wants us to engage it.
That's right.
Thank you.
And Brother Michael, before you go to your point about, you know, those two things, and thank you so much, excellent commentary and observation, because in terms of habit, wherever we read actually in the Quran, in the expression where Allah instructs us, do not follow the footsteps of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's referring mm-hmm. to the habits of the devil. Don't follow the habits. And so Allah clearly outlines that, as Brother Michael said, in terms of the Iblis, the jinn, devolving and becoming shaitan. Don't follow his habits. And so we're seeing what he has a habit of doing. This is why he devolved, because he just refused to be obedient to the command of God. So don't follow his habits, because if you follow his habits, now you become one of his imps. You'll be working for him. You won't be working for Allah. You know, that's really good. And I remember back years ago, there was a group called the Drifters. They named us up the Drifters. I don't know if they really know that, you know, what you just said. But, yeah, when you're drifting, there is no direction and no guidance in your life, and then this makes you very, very vulnerable to be influenced by the devil. So thank you so much, Brother Michael.
Yeah,
my classmate. This is the type of commentary, Brother Michael, just in class too.
up on the roof, Mark, and under the boardwalk.
Under the boardwalk, those are the drifts. So you got to be old enough to know about the drifts. So he knows. Thank you, Brother Michael.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're about out of time again. You know, like I say, this could take a little time, but at least it's causing us to think. And we're going to continue this next week here on another edition of Critical Issues. So until then, you know, be blessed. Keep working for the good. Keep fighting these schemes and influence of the Shaitan. And we're going to see you next week for another edition of Critical Issues right here on AM 360. Assalamu alaikum. Until then.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain of the Nation is world leader in seed nutrition and first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is black cumin seed.
Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Support the health immune system. Give the body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Sewer Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Adam B. out here on Money Sense on AM360 on this blog talk radio and thank Allah for this day and thank Allah for you, those that have tuned in and are continuously tuning in. Alhamdulillah. I want to begin the program today reading from Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, the 260th ayah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال إبراهيم ربي أرني كيف تحيي الموتى قال أولم تؤمن قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصوهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم اذكرهن يك تينك سيرا ولم أن الله عزيز حكيم صدق الله العظيم. In a translation that's given by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Behold, Ibrahim said, My Lord, show me how thou givest life to the dead. He said, Dost thou not then believe? He said, Yea, but to satisfy my own understanding. He said, Take four birds, tie them, cut them into pieces, then put a portion of them on every hill, and call to them. They will come thee flying with speed. Then know that Allah is exalted in power, wise. Sadaq Allah Azeem. Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. I was listening to the other day to a lecture by Imam Muhammad, and I'm not sure when it was given, but it probably was in the late 80s, maybe. And actually, the title that was given for the lecture was Ibrahim and the Four Birds. Now, we know we've heard a lot of commentary from imams and others over the years about the four birds, what they stand for. But I heard something in the lecture, something Imam Muhammad said that I had not considered. So what I want to do, I'm going to play an excerpt from that lecture. And then we can discuss it, and maybe you might hear what I understand I heard and put some context to it. So we're going to play. It's about 20 minutes, if you don't mind. We'll play the lecture, and then we'll come back afterwards and have commentary for that. All right, here it is. I think that's it right here.
Greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum. Allah says, and travel throughout the earth and see what has come to be the end of those before you. See how he rotates. And he is the one who causes night and day. And he makes them to pursue each other. The day pursues the night, and then he causes the night to pursue the day. And he causes them to take over each other. The night takes over the day, and the day takes over the night. He evolves the room as he so wills. That's wonderful. How wonderful it is for those who understand. That's life and death. Death and life. And again, Allah says, there's a sign in that you take your rest also by day. Dr. Charles Williams once told me, he said, in our profession, say, we're supposed to take a midday rest. Say, actually, we should do this, and when we don't do it, say, we're actually not going along with our own profession. We're breaking a rule of our own profession. He says, because your performance weakens as the hours go along. You can perform so well for so long, and at a certain point, your performance begins to weaken. So they advise that we take a midday rest to recuperate. Allah says, see, there's a sign in the rest that you take in the midday. Yes, there's a sign. The sign is this, that we need to rest our minds sometimes. See, the rest you take in the night is not always the rest of your life. In fact, the night is not looked upon as a time to rest our minds. The night is looked at as a time to rest our bodies. But we also need a time to rest our minds. And again, Allah gives us the beautiful statue or disposition of Abraham, the prophet, peace and blessings be on him, where he questions God, but he apologizes at the same time for questioning him. So God, tell me how the dead will be resurrected. Not that I have any doubt in me, but for my heart's sake, will you tell me how the dead is resurrected? And God told him, said, take four birds, or take four portions of birds,
and put a portion on each mountain. It can be one bird, can be a portion of bird, and put a portion on each mountain. But first, train them. And when you call them, they will come to you. That was the reply that God gave Abraham to explain to him how the dead is to be raised. Can it be any clearer? Can it be any clearer? No. Can it be any clearer? Because this is the revelation, the opening. Revelation means revealing something, not closing something up. What kind of revelation is that says it's closing? That's not revealing. Revealing is opening up, not closing. A seal is not revelation. A seal is a secret. Not revelation. Revelation is opening up. Prophet Muhammad, peace and the blessings be upon him, is known more for his title messenger than for his title prophet. He is the messenger of God. And when he wrote letters to the rulers who headed the empires, the oppressive empires, telling them to let the people be free to worship God, and that if they did, they would have no worry from him. And he wished them peace. And he opened his letter in the name of God, the gracious, the merciful. When he wrote them, he signed the letter, Muhammad, the messenger of God. And when we take our declaration of faith, we say, La ilaha illallah, there is but one God, Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger of God. Why is it so important? God did not send only men to prophesy and tell the troubles that's coming or the good that's coming. God sent men with messages. So this world now, it claims to be giving us the freedom of religion. Where is this message? If it's giving us religion, what is the message? The prophet didn't just come to prophesy bad times, or to prophesy good times, or to prophesy punishment for sin, or to tell you God will punish you for sin. Prophets came with a message. And the message is supposed to be guidance, instruction, direction for life on earth that will get us in heaven if we obey it. So what have they done with the messengers of God? See, they shed the blood of God's messengers. They killed his messengers without any right or justice. That's what Allah says in the Quran. And we know that in truth they killed none of them, but they returned to Allah. And Allah continues the process. They do not hold up a thing. Everything happens according to the will of Allah. They speak not of my servants as being dead, for they are alive, but you understand it not. And again says, neither did they crucify Jesus nor kill him. They didn't crucify him and they didn't kill him. Peace be upon Prophet Jesus. Said it was made to appear as such to them that they had crucified and had killed them. It was made to appear as such to them. It was made as a sign. And those who misinterpret, they came up with that answer, that he was crucified and actually killed. But Allah says, no, rather he was raised up to Allah. Allah raised Jesus up to him. And then Allah says again to us in the Quran, says, good word is like a good tree. It is raised up to God. It is lifted up to God. As a tree is drawn up toward the heaven. God raised him up in honor. God raised him up in honor. The world had cast him down in dishonor with his lies. And Allah raised him up in honor against their efforts, against their lies. So actually, the killing, the crucifixion and killing of him should not be seen in the crucifixion and killing of a mortal being, a mortal person, a flesh and blood person. It should be seen in the crucifixion and killing of his mission, his message, his word. And they did not achieve that. For God lifted him up to himself, honored him, and established him, and not only him, but his followers, over the others, over those who had persecuted him, to the day of judgment. That's what Allah says in his holy book. And even now, with the religious people of the world being strong, having great influence, a small group of Jews even have great power and influence. But we find that most of them are under the power of the Christian world, Europe and America. It seems that some of them get no power except that they come in under the influence or under the power of the Western, Christian Western world. Birds. Birds. Says, put birds, portions of birds on full hills. Train them and put them on full hills. What is bird symbolic of? For those who study mythology, or study literature, in its deep meaning, you understand bird to mean the spirit. The spirit. The spirit, but not just any spirit, it's the spirit that wants to go somewhere. So it's desire to go in the spirit of man. That's the bird. Desire to go in the spirit of man. Desire to move and be free, to just move about, to go low, to go high, to go near, to go far. There's a desire in the soul, the spirit of man, to move about. The bird does not like being confined to small areas, small places. Bird wants broad area. Even the simplest bird wants a lot of space. So he said, train. God told him to train birds. What is the great message? What is the great meaning for us there? Train people who want something. Train people who don't want to be confined. Train people who don't want to be limited in their aspirations, but want to be free to pursue the distant horizons, that want to be held down, that want to get up and go, and don't want to be held up, want to be able to light down when they want to. Find people who want to be free in their souls. Again, the liberator, huh? The civilizer and the liberator. Well, our trouble is we're held up by people that don't want nothing. the aspiring soul of the African-American man is held up by the great multitude of his race that don't want to go anywhere. So we have to stop talking to them and start looking very carefully and selecting those among us that have a light on in their heads, that want to go somewhere, have a desire in their hearts to be more than just common trash or common city people for abuses. We have to find those with aspirations to be something better than just a common run-of-the-mill people or the everyday people that have no place to go but to the everyday thing. No goal, no future target. No sense of direction for the whole, just a sense of direction for self. We need to get away from those people. We need to stop wasting our time with them and start selecting those people who have free souls and want to be free in their souls to go to the limits God created them for. Now, Abraham received the great advice from God. No wonder our order is built after his. It makes all the sense of the world. That train them and put them on full heels. We've never seen an air mountain. An air mountain doesn't exist. A mountain is solid mass. Solid mass. Rising up from a broad base to a narrow perspective. To a fine point. Yeah. But these people have to get up off the ground materially. The mountain done got up off the ground by material progression. These people ought to get up off the ground materially. Don't change their nature. Let them stay spiritual. Let them keep that desire to rise high spiritually. But teach them how to also amass wealth and structure material society and get better vision on the whole plane of things. That makes a whole lot of sense. Says teach them, and when you call them, they'll come to you. They may die. he was telling them how to resurrect the dead. So he said, train them, and when you call them, they'll come. Meaning that once you have given a person the natural basic understanding of life and have established them in that light, in that knowledge, and have let their spirit be free, you didn't encage their spirit. You didn't imprison their spirit. You left their spirit free. To leave my spirit free is to leave me with authority to question you. Because my spirit will urge me to even question my teacher. So if you free the people's spirit and then teach them how to structure their lives in a practical, rational way, they may die. They may die to ignorance one day. They may die to the wealth. They may die even to morality. But if you train them that way, it's going to be in their nature, in their genes. And if you ever call them back to the training you gave them, you'll see a resurrection. Yes. Is there any proof of that? Yes. The Arabs had become enslaved by their concept of the world. Their concept, their perception of the external world had enslaved them. They thought that they were the masters of knowledge, and they were fools. Abraham had once been in their own land and had built the house that had stood in the desert of their own land, the Kaaba. And they had died. So the proof that God told Abraham would work is that Prophet Muhammad came back with the right kind of rational teaching and the right kind of spiritual teaching, and those dead of Abraham's descendants rose up and became the new leaders of the world. Now put that in the snuff pipe. Praise be to Allah. I can't thank Allah enough. My soul is so happy. Thinking on the great wisdom, the perfect and powerful wisdom that God has given us in this Quran through Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. There's enough for us and for all generations to come for as long as this earth abides, according to the word of God and his prophet. God says, and a parable of the resurrection is a parable neglected. And the roofs of its buildings have started to cave in, fall in. That is a parable. One comes to that town and restore that town. Have brought resurrection to that town. So there are many kinds of death and resurrection. Many kinds of death and resurrection. And the most important death to the Muslim is the death to the appeal call of the wicked world. That's the glorious death of the Muslim. Allah says, die that you may live. And the worst possible death for us is a death in sin. To die under the weight and pressure and influences of sin. That's the worst death. But we know that in order to progress as a people on earth against the strategy, the war and strategies of Satan, we must have more than moral strength. That's why God says that he promised them he would give them a double portion of his mercy. It is mercy when God keeps us with good morals. That's a mercy on us. Some people pat themselves on the back for their own moral strength. Believers will never do that. No matter how virtuous I am, or how virtuous a believer is, the believer always thank God, because the believer knows that that strength is from God. Yes, the believer knows that. Man becomes arrogant in his righteousness. He's always humble in his righteousness. Because he knows his righteousness is strength. The strength of his virtue is because of his help from God. He has loved God. He has drawn near to God. He turns to God in every time of trouble. And it is
That was an excerpt of a lecture by Imam Muhammad that was entitled Abraham and the Four Birds. I hope you heard that, and we're going to, if you have any thoughts on it, just after we play this PSA, we'll be right back and we can discuss it, inshallah, if that's what you, if you have any thoughts, just press one to get in the queue. And we'll talk about it, inshallah. All right, let's play this PSA and we'll be right back.
Families,
community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
All right, this is Adam B. R. here on Money Sense, and we do have a caller that pressed one. We're going to bring the caller on board and any thoughts or ideas that he has from what we heard. Just go to area code 334-419-334-419.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam. God's peace be upon you and the audience. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Imam. This idea of the four birds has been almost made a cliche among many of the associates of Imam Muhammad,
Right.
And I'm very interested to hear what you have to say, but I wasn't able to give my full attention because I had some things that I had to manage this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of training birds and the idea of putting a portion on the four hills or four mountains,
mm-hmm.
is a lot of food for thought. Okay, you've trained these birds, mm-hmm. but you didn't put the whole bird on the mountain. You put a portion on the mountain. That's something. And the man talked about
right.
Revelation. Revelation is revealing something. And he certainly did take care of business this morning with that. And I don't want to diminish it. I don't want to diminish it because of how happy that made me. He got me thinking. And, we talk about the community of Imam Muhammad, but where is it other than words? I see some of it, That was just kind of rhetorical.
No, I know, brother. I know.
Yes,
and the reason I what I initially heard, you're right, we've made this four birds concept cliche, right?
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
what has taken a back seat in our narrative? The mountains.
Yeah.
Right?
I keep telling folks
to me
that.
The mountains are important, man. He said put them on
four hills
or four mountains, right? Imam said it right there. Mountains are grazed up on material stuff.
Yeah.
Mountains don't rise up on air, right? So unless we have material accumulation or whatever, a material establishment, cliche is being built on air. You follow me? What are the four mountains?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
What are the four mountains? He said there's... economics, politics, education, and culture, right?
Yeah.
I think those are the four mountains.
Uh-huh.
Now, what hills or mountains do we have in our control? It's like everybody talks about economic development, right? If we don't have our mountain to develop and establish that on, and all we have is air, call will become cliche.
Yes, sir.
Right? Will become cliche. So that's what I heard. I said, man, now, are there mountains, are there economic mountains out there? There's a whole lot of them.
Yes, sir.
Right? There's a whole lot of economic mountains. We just had to pick out one and get on it, and eventually it will become ours.
Yes, sir. Now,
right.
2001, I think it was around 2001, Imam Muhammad offered the concept I'm not sure if it was a Ramadan session or not, but he offered the concept of zakat is the Muslim financial focus. I'm missing the word, you know, but the idea of zakat that we see in the framework of giving charity, he identified it as our institutional model. Now, if we get into that, now that's, you know, I'm going to tell you where it sent me. It sent me to the operation of the human body. You know,
okay.
He also connected zakat in another lecture with taste, T-I-S-T-E, taste buds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And let me give the full thing. Feeling he identified with the Shahadatain. Salat he identified with education. Wait a minute, am I saying this right? Salat he identified with seeing. He was dealing with the five senses. Seeing is Salat. Feeling is Shahadatain. Taste is Zakat. And then he kind of got distracted, and he didn't finish the last two. But just following the logic, I would say that Saum, fasting, would be smell because of the sense of smell that's heightened when we're not eating, when we're fasting. And hearing, I connected with Labeka Lahuma Labeka. You know, here I am. I'm responding to your call. So that would be Hajj. But
okay.
The five senses, pardon me, the human body in terms of connecting with this economic system, that's what he called it. Zakat is our economic system. Okay, the human body consumes. We take in through the mouth, and the mouth has discriminatory receptors. In the rear of the mouth, in the center, is bitterness. On the tip of the tongue is sweetness receptors, and on both sides is sourness. Now, I haven't even gotten into that, but it's got my attention, you know, in terms of how that operates. But connecting with finances, you know, we there's a certain discipline and structure to a financial system. That's not my area. My area is really kind of like psychology and Quranic psychology. But the idea of consumption and distribution is all within that human makeup, you know? And that's pretty much as far as I got in terms of, you know, fleshing this financial system out.
Well, when you talk about zakat, I've looked at a very practical way of thinking about that. Allah tells in the Quran that zakat is an institution for us.
Yeah.
Right? In order for me to pay zakat, what do I need to have economically?
Some resources, money.
I need to have financial assets.
Yeah.
Zakat is an asset base, not an income base, but an asset base.
Absolutely.
So I need to have
yeah.
assets that are greater than my liabilities, right?
Yeah.
When my liabilities are greater than my assets, then in the car business, they said you're upside down, right? If you owe more on the car than it's worth, you're upside down.
That's right.
Where many of us are upside down in life, we owe more than we own.
Wow.
If we owe more than we own, we cannot pay zakat.
That's right.
We have no zakatable asset. So now, think about this.
Yes.
Do I want to go through the rest of my life not being able to pay zakat?
No.
Do I want to go through the rest of my life being fit to receive zakat?
No.
So why can't we teach our children, day one, same way people say, well, you teach your son and daughter to get married by the time of a certain age, right? Why can't we teach them, why can't we teach them to be put ourselves in a position to pay zakat and get some of the blessings that Allah has promised us in the Quran and in the life of the Prophet of being able to pay zakat? Just
I'm
that,
loving
that,
it, man.
That concept right there, right? Concept right there, brother. We're transforming.
I'm loving it.
How we think, transform how we earn money, where we put the money that we earn, and put money into income reducing assets. And that's the problem
now
with these athletes to get these big salaries.
Yes, sir.
They take their the athletes take their cash and turn it into trash.
Yes, sir. That's right.
A wealthy man takes cash and turn it into assets that produce more cash.
That's right.
So that's very practical, brother. I wanna be able to pay the cat in my life. And if I had
that's
that thought
economic.
at the age of 10, 50, that's the economic part of it, right?
That's the economic system. Yes, sir.
The economic system. And then when the people in society see how the cat operates in the Muslim life in that way, they would invite us to come to their mountain. Some ideas.
You know, I love that. It's revelatory. It's saying something.
it's saying we can do it with education.
It's guidance, direction, instruction. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate you coming on and getting this conversation started. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to the phone line again. Error code 914-434.
As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam. I'm Muhammad Sharif, Mount Vernon, New York.
Alhamdulillah. Brother Muhammad, what's going on, brother?
You are. I'm saying that. Like that you put that excerpt on by Imam Muhammad this morning. That was excellent. Talking about the Proverbs, man said, education, business, culture, and government.
Right.
You already started out with 150, supporting education, supporting the few schools that we have, full-time schools. Business, you're in business, and we know that. Taxes and all. In culture, we got Imam Shahid Abdullah is doing the culture part. He got a big thing going with that culture part. He got books out there and got the number one, not the number one book, but number one that goes along with other four books. It's called The Negro Market. He's trying to get everyone to get those books by Imam Shahid Abdullah. And now we go into government. I got too much to say this morning. So anyway, I think we won't go into government right now. Prophet Muhammad, last public address. I mean, that's been driving this community, the Muslim world, this Prophet Muhammad's last public address. So we should focus more on his public address. And then get around to Imam W. Muhammad's last public address, which he made 2 days before he passed, called Shared Freedom Space. Shared Freedom Space. I'm about those birds. Wow, I need birds, and then birds need space. You just think about a bird. That's a sparrow. Even a hawk. And these other birds, how much space they need. Man. Allah Akbar. Thank you for playing that excerpt this morning. I mean, we are growing. I mean, we're calling this powerful thesis. Now I said powerful,
yes,
powerful thesis.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's good to revisit what the man said. It's good to revisit it, because like everything else, by the time people start talking about it and whatever, the whole nature of what the man was saying gets changed. You understand? So when I heard that lecture and the man started talking about mountains, you know, to me that solidified it, everything. Unless we have some mountains to put these concepts on, it's just air. Right?
It's just air.
Or as Brother Michael said, cliche. But Muhammad, mm-hmm, got some more callers, man. Thank you very much for coming on. Appreciate that, Brother Muhammad.
You're quite welcome.
You're live.
All right.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
All right, let's go back to the phone line. See you right now. 321-917, 321-917. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Peace and blessings to everyone out there. Thank you, Ma'am Bayat, to make the Ummah felt and strong.
Alhamdulillah.
Listening very intended, man, and excited about this particular concept. And I guess my focus was looking at how he explained the death and resurrection of communities in particular, when he brought up how Allah talks about the town in the Quran, demolished and neglected, and then the next day it's built up. And the concept of community is something I've been really dwelling on for some time. How we need the collective activity to build what we want. You know, the Imam mentioned about wasting time on people who are not motivated to,
mm-hmm,
get things done, and how much,
mm-hmm,
time we spend trying to drag along people, and that we should be looking at the people who are motivated to,
mm-hmm,
get things done and form alliances. He asked us to do this many, many times, form,
mm-hmm,
alliances with the like-minded people. You know, and when he talked about the concept of the birds soaring, you know, I thought about I had a Sunday school class once, and I formed a group called the Sabiqun, those who go forth.
Right.
I was trying to impart to the young men that idea that they should be outstanding, that they should be leaders moving, not following the crowd, but soaring. I didn't use that term with them, but be out front, not following your peers, and et cetera, and you're not going anywhere. We did a lot of things with that group to develop leadership skills. I just wanted to say that, make that contribution, that we have to have the community concept in that mountain, to build that mountain or that structure, put those birds on. They got to be put on the material concerns, but the community has to build that. We have to build that. And I know it's happening, coming soon. I can feel it in my spirit. I feel it is coming soon. So I think he put that emphasis on keeping the spirit to be successful, and connecting with people with that same spirit. And I think we could make this happen so easily if we could get this sacred unity.
Keep in mind.
Go ahead.
The spirit got to be on some mountains. If you don't put the spirit on some mountains, because the question was right, Prophet Ibrahim, how do you raise the dead? That was the question. And Allah answered the question. You take the four birds, whatever, and place them on a mountain. So the mountain got to come up somewhere. And the mountain, the material accumulation, got to come into the equation at some time or another. You understand? You understand? I mean, am I saying it right to you?
I'm understanding,
Brother Mal.
Very well.
All right, so we got all this spirit. I don't know, we the right people got spirit, but eventually that spirit to be free, the spirit to roam, the spirit to be not contained. That's the spirit that got us wanting better. That has us wanting better. But the spirit got to be placed on the mountains. And that's the way I'm seeing it. Because until we do that, we're just a spirit. All right.
Give me an example of a mountain that we could put that effort on and call to it and get the result. I know one of the things was education. We're working on that. I think we're working on the credit union. I know you're involved in that. I know those are real practical things that we are doing, right? But I guess my area is how do we motivate our community to participate and be involved in these. Hey, get on that mountain, right? Get on the mountain. So, you know, I guess that's what I'm looking at. Really.
Yes, sir. We have to, in my estimation, we have to get people to work together. Now, everybody's not going to work together. Not only, I know when the man said you can't waste time on people that don't want anything. And I know my mind would go to the general African-American public. But from what it looks like, you have people in the Muslim body that don't want nothing. They're dissatisfied, but they don't want nothing. So that's it. But we have to get people working together on efforts, whether it's people around the country, because everybody don't want to work on every effort, whatever. But we have to reach people that do want to, whether it's the credit union, whether it's education. We have to reach people of like mind that do want to work on that and get going and put it together and pool our resources and do that.
Inshallah, it's happening. I think it's happening, and I just think we have to keep that again. Keep that motivate that spirit that for the people to participate. Encourage each other, build on that, and just build with the positive people. I think that was powerful what he gave us, really.
Oh, yeah.
But
I'm not giving up, brother. Yes, sir. I'm not
thank
in
you
all
so much for playing that tape there. There's a lot of information compact in those few minutes. Yes, thank you.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. We're about 5 minutes out, and we do have three callers. I'm gonna try to get to all of you. Please bear with us. Let's go to 727-741.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalam, and greetings of peace to everyone, and loving what I've heard so far. Martha Nyla calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. I'll put it in this way because the Imam has, working Muhammad Rahim Allah, has referenced. The spirit needs a physical body, a physical reality and I'm connecting that with the material. Yes. And now, as you all, as I'm hearing, connection, identifying, and before making the connection, identifying what is in the material world that individuals or groups have, as you mentioned, about assets, what we can identify as assets without individuals thinking or groups thinking that we're wanting to put all under an umbrella. No, it's just identifying what is in the area of education, as you've identified with the schools. What is in the area? Where is it being functional? And then began to respectfully connect with those individuals or groups as to understanding how that wealth, how those assets are materializing, and then proposing the communication and collaboration between them. I'm just giving that as a possible formula, because you know, there are other factors I know that play into why we haven't, to a full degree, from the ground up to that mountain. Mountain doesn't just come out of the spoof, you know, the air. It has a ground foundation, a wider base. So that means the operation is going on in order for that mountain to appear, to be there. And then that 2.5%, I was thinking, I was saying, wow, that's the consciousness in its four areas. And I'll stop right there. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you very much, Sister Ma. All right, let's go to another caller. 281-528.
As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam. I'm Foster Sharif, Houston, Texas. I think one of the mountains we can easily, well, not easily, but can effectively attack and build on is the mountain of culture, because we've already done that. Under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we affected not only the culture of African-Americans, we affected the culture of America itself. You have a lot of Africans that look at African-Americans and will say that we don't have a culture. And I beg to differ. When you look at American culture, you're looking at African-American culture, because African-Americans have affected the culture in America in all areas. Look what we did under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Our language alone created hip-hop when it started. We have a tremendous effect on culture. We're already standing on that. So I'm going to stop right there. Thank you. That's all I'm going
to say. Well, they can ask. And I know we're getting time to the fleeting. I do have something to say there, Brother Ron. We can affect it, but we can't control it.
That's a different level, a different task. It's like one emergency at a time, brother.
We get co-opted. So whatever culture we had has been co-opted.
Well, we can take it back.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that's the key. And we can't let them assassinate the artists and groups that want to do that. And that's what they're doing every day. And it's affecting our young people tremendously, adversely affecting our young people. All right, we got to go. I know we got a couple of people who want to say something else, but we got to get out of the way for the man, Yusuf Ramadan. It's this time. Thank you very much, Brother Ron, for checking in. It's time, a new day for Al-Islam in America with Imam Yusuf Ramadan. So he'll be the next voice to you here. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Support the healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Serial Conference, and AM 360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May his peace be unto you. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Al-Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and I'll be your host for this program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern. From the Muslim perspective, and as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. And I hope you won't have a problem with us giving you the Muslim perspective, at least this Muslim perspective. And I suspect some of you may agree with me, although you're not constricted to do so, and feel free to disagree or give your own POV or point of view. And we look forward to hearing that as well. So today we want to talk about how the empire strikes back. The empire strikes back. Taken from one of the Star Wars sequels, okay? The Empire Strikes Back. So we know that since the vaunted October the 7th strike against Israel by the Palestinian group, attributed to the Palestinian group Hamas, there have been a strike back, not only against them, but against the Palestinian people in general. And the media likes to frame the war, what they call a war, which really is like sending a 14-year-old Golden Gloves boxer into the ring with Mike Tyson, with a fully formed and developed Mike Tyson, and they call that a war, you know, a one-sided war. The one side has everything in terms of technology and military hardware, but the other side has faith, strong faith and commitment to their cause, and it's proven to be extremely effective. Allah tells us in the Quran, how often did we defeat a larger force with a smaller force? So this is the way of Allah. And the media, what we're talking about, is a tool, is also a tool, the mainstream media, which is why this programming is so vital. you should support this programming, CWSC and AM 360, not my show in particular. You don't like my show, that's fine. But you should support the program here, programming that brings you alternative views on subjects and give you an opportunity for your voice to be heard, for your intellect to be respected and your voice protected. And you don't get many opportunities. We don't get many opportunities. You know, when they do these polls, they never come ask me anything. They never ask me anything, what I thought about something. Perhaps you have been fortunate enough for them to ask you and you to give your opinion. You know, they tell us 85% of the people want to ban TikTok. 85% of what people? I don't believe that. Huh? It's the same people that are running things from behind the scenes who whisper and withdraw after they whisper. So you'll look to see, well, is this person in charge? Is that group in charge? No, they're the power behind the throne. Huh? They're the ones that lean over and whisper in the king's ear or the president's ear and then back up. And when the camera comes on, you don't see them. You only see the president, the mayor, the governor. But you see that they walk in lockstep, huh? Whether they are, they can't get together on anything. And people will try to frame it, oh, isn't this wonderful? They can't get together with what they call bipartisanship to pass any legislation except for this and others that benefits both so-called parties. And Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Allah, he taught us a long time ago, and he used the word materialists. Excellent word to describe who they are. The materialists, they run the political class. They're nothing but puppets. You see? So you can see, oh, I'm going to run. Well, with very few exceptions. With very few exceptions. In fact, I can't think of any. Not on the presidential level. Oh, but what about Cornel West? There's many things that I admire about Dr. West, but he's also a victim. He's a victim of take one from column A and one from column B. They give you the illusion of democracy. They give you the illusion of choice, but you either got to be this or that. You got to be this or that. You got to be left or right. You got to be left or right. How is that a choice? Your choice is whittled down to who they give you to choose from. And if you need $1 billion+ to effectively run for president, anybody who doesn't have that money, they ain't going to win. Even Barack Obama, who famously, well, he didn't start it. One of the other candidates in the election cycle before him started getting small donors, grassroots donors, $5 donors. His name will come to me in a minute. And Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama, he perfected it. But even that wasn't enough. He had to accept money from the donor class. And they say he who pays the tune, he who pays the piper calls the tune. So that's why they fight. They want to fight to get money out of politics. As long as money in there, you'll see the big donors calling the tunes. Just like the NFL owner, Robert Kraft, told Columbia University, all the millions of dollars I donate to Columbia, and y'all allowing them to have protests against Israel, which they've said is anti-Semitic protests, then I'm going to withdraw my funding. You don't think that gets their attention? You don't think that gets the attention who has a Muslim name? I believe her name is Shafiq, the president of Columbia University in New York. And we have a rich history of college protests in this country, especially during the 60s, during the Vietnam War, the opposition to the Vietnam War. But they've learned certain tactics from your favorite president, Barack Obama. He perfected that also when he shut down Occupy Wall Street, as myself and my brother, William Kareem, our super producer, went out there, and William Kareem went out there and interviewed them, Occupy Wall Street, which gave us the popular phrasing and POV that we see now called the 1%, pointing out how the 1% had well over 50, 60, 70% of all the wealth, 1%, maybe more. And the 10% had 90% of the wealth. Oh, you're lazy people. You don't work hard. They're very smart. Ooh, they're so smart. If you knew how smart they were, and you'd be like them. They want to put it down to meritocracy, that because they're so smart, they're so bright. Now, what I will say, one of the things that I'm trying to bring out is that there are people who cultivate their mental strength, like you go to the gym and lift weights. They cultivate their mental strength, not their physical strength, because they realize that Allah has given that potential to all of us. But how many use it? How many of us have things that we claim we want to do or say we want to do, and we don't do it? And we get to be 50, 60, 70 years old and older, and we still haven't done it. And there's nobody stopping us but us. You say you want to learn how to play the piano. You haven't learned it. You say you want to improve your Arabic. You haven't done it. You say you want to study real estate. You want to sell houses or buy a house, but you haven't studied it. So all those things are open to us. So there are other people that are wise enough to know that if they cultivate themselves in that direction, in that manner, they will be able to lord over you. Huh? You pay for what you don't know. Huh? For what you don't know. They said, what you don't know can't hurt you. Well, what you don't know will kill you. You have to know. Certain things you have to know. My father used to say, if you don't know the law, don't even come out your house. You should stay in the house. Don't even come out. Come out very limited. You don't know the law because they've got thousands and hundreds of thousands of laws. Why do they need that many laws? Because anything that they point out to can be considered against the law. They just have to know whether they're going to enforce it or not. They don't enforce everything that they want to enforce. But the law is on the books. That's why I said we don't need the law. We don't need laws. We just need to enforce the ones that we have. Allah doesn't have that many laws. Allah don't have that many laws. And they say of Al-Islam that this is not a thou shalt not religion. As my good friend Imam Earl says, some people came to the deen through inspiration and some came through desperation. And you'll see people that teach the religion in the desperation way. Oh, you better not do this. You better not walk into the masjid except with your right foot. You better have your pants up high up over your ankle. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. Don't listen to music. Don't. This is not that religion. Very few things, as my predecessor, Imam Qasim Bakhruddin, used to say, that Allah forbids us from doing. Very few compared to the many, 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 many things that he has approved for us to do. So some people dwell upon that. That's how they talk. They talk as a fire and brimstone preacher, as opposed to being a teacher. Huh? You listen to some of these brothers, mainly brothers, on the internet, and they're just hollering and screaming. hollering and screaming. You'll go to the hellfire if you don't do this. If you don't do that. If you do this, you're going to the hellfire. Allah is going to punish you. While he has built into his Qadr, he has built it into the creation. And then advised us what to stay away from. Symbolically, metaphorically, when Adam, alayhi salam, was told to stay away from the tree. Now, the Christians say the apple tree. It doesn't say apple in the Quran. But stay away from that tree. Didn't say stay away from this one, that one, this one, this one. Name a bunch of trees. They one tree. And it's showing you the human nature was made to people through influence. That's the point. Iblis was what? What they call these people on social media. Social media influencers. They whisper and then withdraw after they whisper. So Iblis left Adam and his mate on the hook. He whispered into their hearts and into their ear something contrary to what the Creator had advised them and guided them to do and not to do. And even tied it in, as the Imam taught us, to getting them closer to their Lord. This is a very slick individual, very subtle. Subtle. You don't hear the B, do you? The word subtle is not spelled S-U-T-T-L-E or S-U-T-E-L, subtle. No, S-U-B-T-L-E. The B is silent. Why put it in there to begin with? Why add it? Subtle. You hear people pronounce, that's the wrong, incorrect pronunciation. So it's letting you know that there's things that's there, influences that's there, that you won't immediately recognize. But it's there. It's there. So Noam Chomsky wrote his famous work, Manufacturing Consent. Manufacturing Consent. That's how they get us to... They manufactured consent for to send us to war. Was World War One, World War Two, which they named the Good War. Good War. That was the Good War. And they got us on the brink now approaching World War Three. World War Three, the one that you say is the lesser of two evils between Trump and Biden. Because we can clearly see the disoriented, disjointed mind of the individual, and he is an individual, known as Donald Trump, with 80 million people that voted for him the last time, and maybe more. That's almost 100 million people. That's almost a third of the country, with many more who don't vote for either Democrat or Republican. You don't think they have views, point of views? How many of them do you think agrees with him? Millions. Millions and millions. So they want to set him up as the poster boy for everything that's wrong. When you have other people, they want to let them off the hook. They just brought the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, here to New York to admonish the students that are protesting at Columbia University. They're on the wrong side of history. But they think that if they come and support the position of Pharaoh, that will set them up nicely for the upcoming election. We're on your side, Pharaoh. Those sorcerers that served Pharaoh, he promised them what? More riches and a position close to his person, not realizing his fate was to be He was on his way out. That's why the empire is so frantic, fighting so desperately and viciously. Things that you see as a human being that break your heart. How could they do things to innocent children like this? Innocent people, they often say, women and children. What about innocent men? They don't get a break either. So you listen to New Day, Father Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic station in the nation. Please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
DUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Abdul Shaheed, AM 360, host of Optimal Health. To all the mothers on this Mother's Day, we'd like to say thank you for all of the nurturing you have done, is doing, and will do in the future. The world community is in need of your nurturing power. Thank you. We salute you all. Happy Mother's Day.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
And we're back. So we just want to kind of lay out for you the steps that they take in order to take control of our points of view, our minds, and draw us to these conclusions. The framing is very important. So they're framing the protests at Columbia, now spread to NYU, even USC in California, and other places that they're not going to talk about. One of the tactics that they used with Occupy Wall Street, which was meant to draw attention to wealth inequality in the nation, they just stopped covering it. They did the same thing with the George Floyd protests. They just stopped covering it to make you think it wasn't going on anymore. If you remember that summer, it was the streets were filled with not just African-American bodies to protest that killing, that brutal killing that resulted in the conviction, without which I don't believe it would have happened, of Chauvin, the police officer, and some of his colleagues, which enabled him to do it. But it spread internationally. Occupy Wall Street was international, as well as the George Floyd protests, international. And they learned, and they brutally started shutting them down. They were shooting the people in America, even veterans who they claimed to respect. which is a fake, phony respect. Thank you for your service. I don't know. We should thank them for their service, conceptually. The concept of people who would fight for your country, they should be respected. But not if they're being used by the puppet masters to go here and go there. We have all over the world, literally all over the world. They're not protecting us. We have to fight them there so we don't have to fight them here. Always appealing to your emotions and your fear. How about minding your business there so you can mind your business here? That's not your job. Your job is not to go all over the world. We have to spread, make the world safe for democracy. How about making it safe for democracy here? And those that don't want to give it up, those that want to continue that, one of the promos that came on just before I came, it spoke about the imam telling us to remake the world. And I know y'all don't want to do it because you're afraid or you're comfortable. You have some level of comfort. You got a couple of dollars in your bank. Your mortgage is paid or your rent is paid. Huh? You have a few dollars. You got a nice car. So as far as you're concerned, everything is hunky-dory. Everything is great. Why would I want to change this? Everything is fine. Until you step out of line. When you step out of line, then they're going to check you also. So she thought all she had to do was she could have a Muslim name but and run the why you think they picked her in the first place to run Columbia University? All those so-called Ivy League, the man talked about the Ivy Leaguers. And he talked about how Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he wasn't accepted among the Ivy Leaguers of his time. He didn't get that top-notch education. The Columbia, the Yale, Harvard, Princeton, MIT, Stanford. These are the top universities. These are factories where they teach you how to think. Where the elite send their children, the ones who have the money to pay for it, and they'll take on a few scholarships of people who come from another class that can't afford it, but to get their minds thinking like they do. They send them to these think tanks. All you got to do is watch the Sunday morning news shows and see how they operate in lockstep. They have certain parameters that they're not allowed to cross. You have to begin with their thinking. You have to accept their thinking first. Then you can talk. Do you condemn Hamas? Oh, definitely. Okay, you can talk. Well, we're going to watch you, but we're going to let you can say a little something. They never asked them if they condemn the IDF for what they did to innocent people. Do you condemn them? No. So they start, you can't get engaged in any battle where you concede before even the battle begins. Do you accept their right to exist? Did they say that to the Afrikaners in apartheid South Africa? Do you concede their right to exist? Nelson Mandela, first tell me that they have the right to exist. Then we can talk to you. So, well, we can't talk. They called him a terrorist, too. You forgot that. Oh, Imam Ramadan, you're scaring us. If you're scared, get a dog. That's what they used to say. If you're scared, get a dog. No, we don't want to be friends with people that don't. If that's how you're treating humanity, what makes you think they won't treat you that and have treated you that way? And worse. Yes. So you don't want to hold on to it. You don't want to come out of Egypt because they made it comfortable. The Imam explained to us, Egypt wasn't an ordinary society. It was a highly advanced civilization. And Pharaoh was the head. Now, Pharaoh is not a person. It's a title. There was more than one Pharaoh. But they thought that if they could just convince him that they were on their side. And it's not just the Republicans. The Democrats are falling all over themselves to do the same thing, because that's where the money comes from. If AIPAC is giving us money, if AIPAC targets us and gives money to our opponent, we won't win. We won't be comfortable no more. I can't be the congressman, the honorable congressman or senator or whatever political position you have. They openly talk about spending hundreds of millions of dollars. And I'm going to play a little bit of this clip for you, and I'm going to try to watch it because they're quoting the late, great comedian George Carlin, who used a lot of profanity, and I won't allow that to go over our airwaves. But that's just how he talks. But this brother's laying it out, how war is sold to Americans. I hope I got past his part. If not, I will stop it.
Woodrow Wilson stepped into the presidency with the premise, peace without victory. Sounds noble, right? But here's a twist. The general public, they were not really interested in the German war. It did not seem like their fight. But the government, they had other plans. They were all in for the war. So how do you get a nation on board? Enter the Creel Commission. Within 6 months, the Creel Commission had successfully transformed a peace-loving population into one that was practically baying for German blood. And who was behind this massive shift of opinion? It's the intellectuals, those who believed that they knew what was better for the USA. They played on fears, emotions, and patriotism, driving our entire nation into a war that they initially had no interest in. This leads us into Walter Lippmann. Walter Lippmann was a titan among American journalists. He had some pretty controversial views on democracy and the role of the public. He believed in the power of propaganda, not just as a tool, but as a necessity. According to him, propaganda was the key to manufacturing consent. In simpler terms, making people agree to things that they initially don't want through the magic of tailored messaging. Lippmann argued that the common interests of the population, the things that truly matter to all of us, are often too complex for the average person. He believed that these interests could only be understood by a select few, a specialized class of quote-unquote responsible men. These men are meant to be the thinkers, the planners, and are believed to be the ones who truly get the bigger picture. But where does that leave the rest of us? In Lippmann's world, society was divided into three groups. The first group are the owners, and these are the folks who own the country. Not literally, but of course, they hold the power,
no, literally,
the wealth and the wealth, normally called the 1%. Then there is a specialized class, and this group works for the owners. They are a small percentage, but play a massive role. They analyze, execute, make decisions, and essentially run the show in various systems.
No, he's wrong. They don't analyze and make decisions. The owners, who he said, not literally, no, wrong, literally, they own the country, okay? And they write the laws, for literally write the laws through lobbyists and send it to them, written out, and tell them that's what we want you to support. And in exchange, we will give you the money that you need in order to stay in office and live a good life, come in office as a so-called public servant, and leave as a millionaire.
Economic or ideological. They're the brains behind the operations, and Lippmann believed
they're not the brains behind the operations.
On the common interest.
Biden is not the brains behind the operation. Trump is not the brains behind the operation.
And last is the bewildered herd, which is most of us. They're the ones who go about our daily lives doing the mundane tasks. In Lippmann's eyes, our main role as the bewildered herd is just to watch from the sidelines. We're the spectators, but not players. Every once in a while, we might get a say, maybe choose a leader from the specialized class, but that's about it. The bewildered herd is a term which sounds demeaning, but in Lippmann's theory, it is crucial. This group represents the vast majority of the population. And while there might be many in number, their role as defined by Lippmann is surprisingly limited. Firstly, there is a deliberate effort to keep the bewildered herd isolated and segregated. They're not meant to be in the thick of things, and they're not meant to make decisions or influence outcomes. They're just supposed to be pure spectators, and that is their simple task. But why? Why keep such a large group of people at arm's length? Lippmann believed that there was a certain danger in letting the general get involved in their own matters. In his view, the complexities of society, politics, and economics were simply too much for the average person to understand. He if they were to dive in and manage their affairs, it could lead to chaos, misunderstandings, and ultimately societal breakdown. However,
and that's the thinking behind the so-called Electoral College. Don't forget, they lied to you to tell you that it was Russian interference that caused Trump to beat Hillary Clinton. But what they don't tell you is that Hillary got 2 million more votes than Trump. 2 million. Not 2,000. That should have been enough to win. 200 should have been enough to win. Majority rule, right? Not 20,000. Not 200,000. 2 million. But she was never seen as president because the Electoral College didn't elect him. They selected him. Is that right? All right. So you're listening to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And we have some more important announcements for you, so don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Supreeta Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
And we are back. So what we will do now is we will open up the phones and get your questions or comments on the matter at hand. I don't know if I see these hands have been up for some time, but we'll give you an opportunity. 334-419, state your name, where you're calling from, please. 334-419.
Assalamu alaikum. Michael, Jacksonville,
yes,
Florida. And thanks for the program, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, this language environment, and I hear you, you know, sharing real meaning and definition in terms of the reality on the ground that we're dealing with and how oppressive these things that you're presenting in terms of the empire striking back and the oppressive nature of these things that are going on affecting our souls. But something that I noticed that oftentimes is not brought into the conversation, just like in the history of chattel slavery, which the African-American community was born in that environment as a new people, what is not oftentimes mentioned except among believing men and women, whether they be members of the Islamic faith or Christian or whatever, what is not brought up is that there was never a time when the Creator was not involved, that he did not relinquish his controls. And so when we look at the horrific situation in Gaza, the genocide that's taking place, understanding that Almighty God is over those situations, and at any time he could change that for the benefit of those who are being oppressed. And our attention is so much on the Gaza, and it should be because of the genocide, but there are places in the Congo and other places in Africa and Asia where oppression and slaughter is going on as well. And this, the way that this media, commercial media operates, it gives us one thing to excite us and get our cortisol going and our adrenaline going, and then they go to something else. So, you know, they may give us a little good news, you know, to bring our blood pressure down. But what this is my final comment in terms of God is using these circumstances in Gaza, since that's the focus of this genocide. People are becoming more interested in the Muslim way of life because of how these suffering innocent people are handling their oppression, you know, their faith, the prayers that are being observed. So the uptick in terms of interest in the Quran, getting a Quran to see what these people really believe in, the conversion to Al-Islam, you know, is up because of these circumstances. And that, to me, shows that God is always in control. Thank you.
Well, thank you for those words, because it's certainly comforting to myself and others to be reminded that Allah is always in charge, always in control, seeing these horrific things being done to these poor innocent people is very heartbreaking. But that is good news for us to remember. Thank you. All right. 281-528. Don't know if you are just there from the last time, but if we'll give you an opportunity to speak. 281-528.
Yes. Ron Fox Sharif, Houston, Texas. The first thing, I want to do a qualifier that whenever I use the word Trump, I'm not talking about the individual. I'm talking about this mindset that is behind Trump. Right. Now, Cornel West, his candidacy, I think, is a choice. We have a choice because I think in this sense, tactically, there's no win there, but strategically, it allows us to stand shoulder to shoulder with the rest of the Muslim world concerning Gaza. And it also sends a message to the Democratic Party that they can no longer take our vote for granted. And in addition to that, in standing solidarity with the immigrants, we allow a discussion between us and the immigrants on the elephant in the room. And we have to have, speaking straight words, we have to have a discussion with these immigrants about this developing a new relationship, and this relationship that we have to have with them is one that's no longer based on tenant landlord. It's based on equality, And one of the things that's on the table that we have to discuss with the immigrants, one of the elephants in the room, they got to stop taking our masjids. Okay, now, number two, I think this scenario of Trump, again, Trump is the mindset, this scenario or this narrative about Trump taking the country away from democracy or a constitutional republic is very, very real. It's not such a PR thing that the Democrats are whipping up. Out of Trump's own mouth, he's saying what he's going to do. The way that he has set up the state courts and the federal courts to allow him so far to beat cases the way that he's beating these cases is already changing the country. And I think one of the reasons that the Republicans and those like him are so keen and whatnot to line up with Putin and with the Russian government, I think they look over this Constitution and they look over America and they realize now that the founding fathers had to put down the Bible and pick up the Quran to develop this country. And in knowing that and in following the logical conclusion, following the logic to its logical conclusion, if they base this country on the Quran, then that means they based it on Sharia law. And keep following the logical conclusion, I think they realize that they've been living under Sharia law for the last 250 years in a de facto way. I think that's why they're so easily pushed to start embracing another form of government other than this democracy or this constitutional republic or what an African I heard once say, not democracy, it's democracy. Okay, now, in conclusion, what I want to say is that I think under this form of government that we see now that we call democracy, I think the Republicans and their like mind realize that they cannot win under this because it's based on the Quran and it's based on equality. They can never win. So that is why that mindset that's behind Trump is so keen to put him in the office so he can take the whole country in a different direction. I believe that. I'm going to stop right there, brother. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Yeah, you were doing good, and then you lost. You lost me. With they picked up the Quran. No, this country is not built on equality. This country is not built on the Quran or the Sharia, although they definitely, you know, Thomas Jefferson had a Quran, and they definitely were influenced by Quranic ideas, but you lost me with that one. 914-434, state your name where you're calling from, please. 914-434. 914-434. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. I can hear you now.
Okay, thank you. Praise be to Allah. Well, now it's Dr. Cornel West on the scene. You know, he had the Muslim Journal, April 13th through the 19th issue. Cornel West was at our Islamic education system.
No, he was at,
program.
He was at the masjid. He was at the masjid in Atlanta. He attended Juma in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's
he
correct.
Was there before the Juma. He was there. He made a big presentation a week before we started Ramadan. So that issue, the Muslim Journal, carries the whole issue of Cornel West visits to the Masjid. Also, the Forbes magazine, the issue, February and March issue of Forbes magazine, they carried a big article on Dr. Cornel West. We know how big Forbes is, not just the magazine, but the company, and all Forbes. You know, Imam Muhammad was invited to give a presentation to Four Works some years ago. And you're speaking about a small group vanishing, defeating a large group. This is in history, so you were coming from the Cayenne. Now they said it couldn't be done before. Remember when we got no support from anyone until Allah brought in Fort Muhammad to come into America with Elijah Muhammad for 45 years. You know what they did in 45 years. So now we have a situation again. Biden told us what he's going to do. He's going to continue financing the Israelis with weapons, money, all of that, technology, everything that he can until they have completely wiped out the Palestinian people. On the other side, Trump said he's going to become, he's going to continue in a sense what Hitler tried to do, but he's going to become world dictator. So this is what we don't have anywhere. Where are we going? So now Allah has helped us again. I said with Dr. Cornel West, his running mate, her name is Amina Abdullah. I'm not sure about the pronouncing of the first name, but you can go on online. Now, Amina Abdullah, she's going to be Cornel West vice president. So Allah has come to our aid once again. We do have a choice. It don't have to be for Biden or Trump. We just pass the word on as much as we can about Dr. Cornel West.
Okay, thank you.
You're quite welcome. And one other thing I would say if I have just one more minute, that is, what a small group can do. I was a teenager. You know how you listen to the news, everything on, you're getting ready to go to school. This day came on, his name was D.A. Sanderson. Well, you know the elders, by Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Reverend Abernathy, all those people at that time had come together. Said we will not, in Nelson War, we will not be riding these buses anymore. And as a teenager, I watched those buses running throughout Montgomery, Alabama, empty for almost 380 days or so. Buses empty. We know what a small group can do. We broke that power structure. And a small group can do it again. I believe we have opportunity to do it again. What we did in Alabama with the bus boycott, it can be done again now. Thank you for taking my comments in there, Yusuf.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. All right, 281-528. State your name, where you're calling from, please.
This is Ron Foster Sharif again. When I was talking about this country being based on the Quran, I deliberately used the word de facto. De facto. When you start looking at the Constitution and you look at freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and all these other different freedoms, that's coming out of, that's Quranic language. This is why in Washington, D.C., they have a monument in, I think, the Library of Congress of Prophet Muhammad and call him the lawmaker. De facto, this country is based on the Quran. And if it's based on the Quran and the laws of the Quran, de facto, again, it is Sharia law. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Okay. So we're coming to the end of the show. That's why we have a call-in time so that you can give your ask your questions and make your comments. Anybody else before we sign off? We got a couple of minutes, 2-3 minutes. All right, I don't see anyone else. Okay, I don't see anyone else. All right, 972-467.
972-467. State your name, where you calling from, please.
Family Dallas, Texas. Very intriguing conversation. Very, very intriguing conversation. And I understand, Brother Ron, was saying about the de facto based on the Quran, but I think what you're saying is that as a country, we offset it because even though we may be sophisticated in one sense, in another sense, we're savage because we go in and do things that are most definitely against the Quran, and that's what built this country. So it's like a, you know, like the man talked about, the werewolf, you know, a gentleman by day, savage by night, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You know, they're singing, but then they're savage also. So that offsets that quote-unquote Quranic thinking because they're using two different ideologies that mix them, and that's what helped build this country. That's what that's based on. So I understand your point, and I understand this point. Just want to add that. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, I agree with that part. All right, 636-980. State your name. Where are you calling from, please? 636-980.
Yes, Kareem Hamid calling from St. Louis, Missouri. We're asking, where do we go? Almighty God have already given us a system of government, a way of life. And this country allows that you can set up your own government under its broad government. So we have choices to establish Islamic community life, another system of government like Mormons have done in Utah, the Amish. There are groups of people that have their own system of government. We are the only ones that get very alarmed at who shall sit in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You know, our whole future, everything is just relying on some benevolent person. But that idea of savior complex, that savior complex has disarmed us. We have a system of government if we just go head on and build it and live it. I'll stop right there, my brother. Thank you, my beloved Imam Yusuf Ramadan. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you, my brother. Alhamdulillah. So, yeah, we're at the end of the show. We thank everybody for listening. You do Day Cloud Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We pray that you have a blessed Jummah, a blessed day, and that you continue to safe and secure medically, financially, spiritually, physically. We don't have time to take another call, but I certainly agreed with Brother Ron about exercising a choice. Although one of my family members cussed me out and said, if you vote for Cornel West, that's a vote for Trump. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I don't agree with that. But it's something that we can look forward to speaking about. And so until next time, assalamu alaikum.